The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
To the Fire Breslow podcast presented by the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Red Sox win their fifth straight in extra innings thriller in this one. Jaron Duran with a grand slam in the 10th inning to put the Red Sox ahead. They win 7-3. Peyton Tolley with another solid outing on the mound, but also Mickey Gasper continues to be the hottest hitter in this Red Sox lineup, as much as that might shock a lot of people. So Red Sox win again. Welcome into the show, everyone. I'm your host, Jason Kelly. I've got Doug and Wong alongside. So, guys, I guess we'll start with Mickey Gasper. I mean, the guy, you know, reached base all four times that he went up to the plate. He had two homers, two walks. Marlins couldn't get him out. And this is a guy who is kind of on the roster bubble because you've got some guys that are poised to come back. Roman Anthony, Trevor Story. It's a lot of people saying, well, he's going to be an automatic option, but Mickey Gasper is red hot right now, so he's kind of presenting the Red Sox with, I guess, a good problem to have. But, Doug, I'll put you in the leadoff spot here. What'd you think of just Gasper's night and just how he's been overall this past week?
Yeah, dude, Mickey effing Gasper. This kid is on fire, dude. He goes up and he crushes it, and you're just like, this kid did it again. You can't believe it. And he's fighting for a spot. You can tell that he's going up there and he's fighting for his spot and he's doing everything that he can. You know, he's done everything in his power to stay on this team. If they send him down, it's just because there's not a spot for him at this point. It can't be because of his production, because he's producing at a level that no one else is. I mean, I think they said 6 or 7 straight plate appearances he's reached on. It's like the most since Devers had a few years ago. And He's red hot. You feel good seeing him in the lineup. I mean, he crushed that ball to center field. It was a bomb. And, you know, it just seems like just recently he hit his first, right, at Fenway. And since then he's just been going crazy. And he's hitting bombs. He's hitting big spots. He's drawing walks. It's hard to think about sending him down right now. It's really hard to think about that, the way he's swinging the bat. And, you know, hopefully we can see him as long as we can.
Yeah, I'm hoping, I don't know who exactly is making the decisions here with who's going to go down there, but the way the Red Sox have been playing, at least the way that Chad Tracy has been calling games, is going with the hot hand, going with whoever is producing the most at the moment. There is, as I mentioned before, no superstar, you know, a player outside of maybe Contreras, right? You've got your outfield locked in. You're not going to move, in my opinion, any of those guys, even if Roman Anthony's back. Mickey Gasper is making a great case for someone that deserves to be on this roster. And I'm talking about over Connor Wong. We know Atley is our starting catcher. The question here is who's going to be that backup catcher? And if Chad Tracy and Craig Breslow, whoever really is making that decision, is going with the hot hand, you have to stick with Mickey Gasper here. I mean, in his last 21 at-bats, I think I have these numbers right. He's got 10 hits, 12 RBIs, 5 home runs, and his OPS is at 1.940. I mean, there's people calling him Mickey Gasper, a.k.a. Bonds out there. That's how he's performing. 2 home runs tonight. I mean, you can take the questionable defense, right? Because Connor Wong is the better defensive catcher. But if he's performing on the offensive side and you want to give Atley rest, I think Gasper has earned the right to stay on this roster, to continue to produce. It doesn't mean that it'll be long term. It's you produce until you're not producing. That's the approach that I think Chad Tracy's taking with this roster here. So I'd say the same thing with Mickey Gasper here. Let him stay up here. Maybe, I don't know, take down Wong. He's not really performing much offensively, and he almost cost us the game tonight. Go with Gasper. He's the hot hand right now, and see what happens.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting conundrum that they're going to face. And look, Connor Wong does have options. So that would be an easy kind of, you know, no one has to be DFA'd. You could send him down. You know, the trouble with that is that Wong's been on the roster all year. So, and, you know, he hasn't been great, but he's actually not been terrible. He's had a better year this year than he did in 2025, where it looks like he forgot how to hit. There could be a third option that might present itself, and I hope it's not the case, but, you know, the Red Sox did say today that they're resting Adley Rutschman because he swung aggressively and he felt a little bit of irritation in that elbow that, you know, sidelined him for a couple of weeks. You know, they say there's no concern, but this is the Boston Red Sox. I mean, we know that they like to sugarcoat injuries a little too much. So it could be that Adley wakes up tomorrow morning and goes, guys, my elbow's on fire. Like, you know, and all of a sudden then it's, he's going back to Boston for tests and, you know, yada, yada. So it could be that, you know, maybe there's another IL stint coming for Adley Rutschman. I hate to say that. I don't want to see that happen, but at the same time, whose bat would you rather have in the lineup right now? I'd rather have Mickey Gasper's bat than Adley Rutschman's. As much as I like Rutschman as a player, and, you know, I still think there's upside there, but he's had a down year offensively. And Mickey Gasper right now is just, it's not just that he's hitting home runs and driving runs. He's getting on base. He's drawing walks. He gives you a good at bat every single time. You know, defensively behind the plate, is he great? No, he's average. He's not awful, but, you know, he's not as good as Rutschman. He's not as good as Connor Wong. The trouble with Mickey Gasper is that he doesn't have the positional versatility. So, you know, a guy like IKF or a guy like Nick Sogard, they can play multiple positions. Gasper really is catcher DH. You know, you really don't feel comfortable putting him anywhere else. And that's going to hinder him a little bit when it comes to a roster crunch, because those guys who can play multiple positions, they'll get to stay. Because, okay, well, you know, we can kind of plug and play you anywhere. A guy like Mickey Gasper, unfortunately, all he can really bring you is his offense. And he has been doing that, but doesn't offer you speed. He's, you know, an average at best catcher, and he really can't play any other position. So unless Adley's going on the IL, I don't see Gasper sticking with the team long term. And look, the rosters are going to expand next week, right? So that'll help a little bit, but they already kind of said tonight that IKF is going to get one of those roster spots, right? He's begun his rehab assignment. He's ready to come back. So again, another versatile player that they'll give him one of those roster spots. And then the second one will go probably to a pitcher, right? Because you want to make it even. So as hot as Gasper's been, I feel like his lack of versatility is going to keep him from staying on this roster long-term.
Yeah. It does feel like that, just maybe he's the odd man out and on this playoff roster. It might be tough for him to find a spot. Maybe you pick him over Siegler. You know, if IKF is back, if Story's back, maybe you keep him over Siegler. Other than that, I can't really see him. You know, like you said, I wouldn't keep him over Sogard. Other than that, there's probably not many I would keep him over. I still think you probably have to keep Wong over him, just for the defensive purposes. If you're in a playoff game and you had to pinch run Adley, you know, and you need to put someone else behind the plate. But, you know, but we haven't really seen much of Mickey behind the plate. So, you know, I don't have much to go off of, but it does feel like that, you know, it feels like he's earning the spot, but it feels like there's no spot to be earned right now.
I do agree that come playoff time, you want to go with the more well-versed player in Connor Wong, because, of course, defense is going to be crucial in the playoffs, but we're not there yet. I mean, they're literally fighting for the division at this point. They're 5.5 back from the Rays, 1.5 behind the Yankees. I mean, we have a long way to go. And as I mentioned before, like, Chad Tracy's MO so far is just going with what works. And at this point, I mean, he's just too hot for the Red Sox to say, well, we need to make room for someone else, and we're going to take down this hot bat in Mickey Gasper here. That's why I said it doesn't mean that Wong won't be a part of that playoff roster, but at least for now, if Atlee comes back, because of course we're kind of waiting to see what's going to happen with Atlee here. But if Atlee comes back, I'm riding with the hot hand. And again, that's been Chad Tracy's MO here, going with whoever's hot. And Mickey Gasper, I mean, he's doing things that I don't think anyone really like thought he was capable of doing. Just hitting bombs, hitting home runs. That's not Mickey Gasper's game. And yet that's the way he's playing right now. He's hot. So he most definitely deserves the right to be on this roster. But again, it's gonna be interesting to see what Chad Tracy does here. They've got to continue to win. I mean, that's really the most important thing. So do whatever needs to happen for this team to continue to pile up wins. And who knows what could happen within the next few weeks with the division, not even the wild card, with the division at this point.
Yeah, it's a little bit scary because after tonight, so the Yankees lost tonight to Houston. So you're now a game and a half back from the Yankees. Yeah, so you're a game and a half back from second place in the division. You're five back from first place. And you've got a big weekend series coming up against the Yankees. So, but also at the same time, you've got Trevor Story, who it sounds like he might be activated as soon as tomorrow. Roman Anthony has already started to have some at-bats at AAA. I think he had another home run tonight in Worcester. So, you know,
yeah, I think I saw they wanted to activate him for the Yankee series.
Yeah, it sounds like Roman is really charging back. Like, he's going to be back very soon. I think IKF, they're going to wait. They'll probably wait till the rosters expand, which is fine. So you are going to have a roster shakeup in the next 24 to 48 hours. And it's a good thing because you're getting Roman back. But then the flip side of that is you get Trevor Story back. And, you know, we've talked at length about, you know, how we really don't think he's going to be a value add to this lineup once he comes back. But you are going to lose some of these guys, you know, some of these quote unquote 4A players who have really been performing for you. I mean, you know, Anthony Siegler, I think, is kind of, you know, cooled down significantly. I think he's an easy one that you can say, okay, you know, the magic is kind of worn off there. But look at what Mickey Gasper is doing. Look at what, you know, Nick Sogard is doing. These guys aren't just contributing. They're winning games for you. I mean, you don't win tonight without Mickey Gasper. And then, you know, a couple of days ago, you don't win without Nick Sogard, both at the plate and defensively. So it's a little bit tough because, yeah, like you're glad to see Roman come back and you want the team to get healthier, but you're going to lose some of these guys who I always like to describe them as just plucky. I think that's what the Red Sox are right now. They're a plucky team. Like, they're not the best in the league talent-wise, but if you're up 3-1 against them late in the game, you can't bank that you're going to close that out. I mean, they are just, they're resilient, and a lot of it is because of these type of players that, you know, I thought Lou Maloney made a good point on Twitter today. Someone was, you know, a Yankee fan was kind of bashing them, saying, oh, you know, Red Sox just get all these, you know, bums, journeymen, 4A players, and yet somehow they rake. And Maloney made the point, he's like, they're not all technically 4A players. They're young guys. You know, Siegler's 26, Sogard, I think, is 28. Gasper is probably the oldest of them at 30, but they're young guys who haven't gotten the opportunity in their careers, and now they're getting the opportunity, and look, they're making the most of it. So, you know, you're going to lose those guys to a veteran in Trevor Story, who I think is very entitled and thinks that, you know, he should be playing every day and that he's a team leader. And then Roman Anthony, who I'm excited to see him come back, but let's face it, early in the season, he was not a value add for you. He was not the Roman Anthony of 2025. So I'm a little bit worried about the chemistry going forward once you bring those guys back. Is it going to, you know, mess with the mojo a little bit? I'm not sure I like that, especially heading into a big series this weekend.
Yeah, I don't think anyone wants to see Story, really. I mean, Monasterio's had some tough throws over the last couple games, you know, so he's not doing himself any favors by trying to keep that spot when Story comes back. I don't think any of us really want to see him, you know. No one wants to see him over Sogard, that's for sure, you know, so they'll probably plug him in over Monasterio. We'll see what happens with Monasterio.
Monasterio's lucky the Red Sox won tonight because he was getting killed on X, and I was livid when he had that throwing error there. I was pissed. I mean, right there, I felt like he opened up the door for Trevor Story to come back and be the starting shortstop here. But again, hopefully here, Chad Tracy sticks to his MO, and it doesn't matter who the player is, right? Show that you are capable of being the manager of the Boston Red Sox. He still has the interim tag. So the way that he shows that he can be the manager of this team is by making the right decisions here and doing what's right for this team. I don't care if Trevor Story is one of the veterans on this team. If you don't play well, you don't deserve it. It's not like he's hitting bombs in AAA like Roman Anthony. That's why I want Roman Anthony as the everyday DH of this team. He's not doing that in the minor league system. He's striking out. He's being the same Trevor Story that he was before getting injured. So I hope Chad Tracy does the right thing here. If you want to platoon those positions and go with the hot hand, which has been working for this team, then go with that approach. But don't just say, hey, Trevor Story, you're the everyday shortstop of this team. No, you've got to earn it. You've got to earn it.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I don't think that they should just hand over the shortstop duties full time to Trevor Story just because he's healthy. Now, that said, you brought up Monasterio. And look, we've been singing his praises, and you know, rightfully so. But his last 14 games, he's 8-43. Only 3 runs scored in his last 14 games. So, you know, his bat has kind of gone backwards. And look, I mean, this is what you get, right? This is the flip side of, yes, it's fun to see these guys who don't get to play every day and now they are, and they're, you know, making the most of it. The flip side is sometimes they get exposed. You know, I used to call it the Brock Holt problem, right? Brock Holt was a great bench player. He was a great utility guy because he could come off the bench and really produce for you. And then remember that season when Brock Holt was the starting second baseman every single day? And we all know what happened. He did not have a good year. So guys like this do get exposed when they play every day. And I think that's what's happening with Monasterio. You're certainly seeing it defensively. And now I think at the plate, pitchers know how to attack him, right? So, you know, basically you just throw him a slider down and away. He's going to chase it. So as much as I'm not really jazzed up about Trevor Story coming back, I can't really say that Monasterio, you know, at this point still deserves a shortstop job. You know, again, 2 weeks ago when he was red hot, I would have said, yeah, keep Trevor Story down as long as you can. But Monasterio has been exposed now. And the bat is starting to slow down. Same thing with Siegler. I think Siegler is getting exposed. So, look, I don't know what Trevor Story is going to give you. It doesn't sound like he's going to give you much. You know, Juan, you mentioned it. I mean, he's doing the same thing in AAA that he does up here. He's just striking out left and right and not making hard contact.
And it's not competitive. I mean, I saw a screenshot of a third strike that a third pitch that he swung at yesterday. And it wasn't even close. Like, this is the same thing he was doing prior to the injury. I mean, continue to platoon shortstop if that's what you have to do, because that's what's working. Trevor Story does not deserve the right to be the everyday shortstop. Heck no.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I think it was Hunter Knoll, you know, was down there in Worcester, and he was watching him live, and he tweeted, he's like, from what I've seen just with my own eyes, I don't think Trevor Story is going to give you anything when he comes back. So that's scary because, again, the contract and everything else, they're going to plug him right back in there. And, yeah, I think to start, you know, he'll play one game, get the next day off, you know, then play again. You know, they'll kind of mix in some days off, but eventually he's going to want to play every day. And now you're adding 3 to 4 strikeouts a game to this lineup that, again, they're successful and they're winning games because they're not striking out as much. So it's a scary thought, and they're heading into a big weekend series with a team that they, I think, should be able to leapfrog, right? I think the Yankees are extremely vulnerable right now. Stanton's done. Judge is still hurt. Like, they're not the threat that they think they are. But, you know, you add Trevor Story to the mix, all of a sudden it's, okay, well, now the Red Sox as a team are striking out 12, 13 times a game. You know, that's what they were doing in May and June when they sucked. So it's going to be interesting, and you guys are right. A lot of it's going to be on Chad Tracy, right? Just, okay, because there were those reports, you know, this week that he's the leading candidate. You know, he's going to get the interim tag removed, and that he's the favorite to just actually be named the manager. Well, now's your chance to really put a stamp on that, because, you know, Trevor Story is a problem. You know, I call him the albatross just because of his contract and everything else. Like, he is. And Chad Tracy's going to have to figure out how to keep the veteran appeased, but also put the best lineup out there. So big time challenge for him coming up. And unfortunately, it's going to happen soon, because, again, I think that activation is imminent. I think it's coming probably tomorrow. So we'll see what they decide to do. Let's move over to Peyton Tolley. His start today, thought he was pretty decent. You know, not his sharpest stuff, but he still had the 7 strikeouts, had a no-hitter going through the 5th. Didn't make it too far into the game, only 5 1/3. You know, got to 97 pitches pretty quick. So, you know, not the most efficient outing, but again, you know, only really made 2 mistakes, right? You know, he had that one bad inning where he lowered the bases, and then the solo homer, right? But apart from that, I thought Tolley, you know, once again showing you that, you know, he's one of your key guys now. So, Doug, I'll start with you. How did you feel about Peyton Tolley and his outing today?
Yeah, no, I felt great. You know, not his best stuff, but I always like to see a pitcher work around not having their best stuff, right? And he knew it, and he still had 7 Ks, so he was still getting the strikeouts. He was still getting the outs. He didn't have his location as great as he has before. He let up he had that one bad inning. He let up a bomb, but, you know, he's good for a solo home run pretty much every outing. But like you said, you know, no hitter going. You could tell, you know, a lot like Ranger in a way that, you know, when they don't have their best stuff, they're still finding ways to get outs and kind of a bend not break, you know, have a couple bend not break innings. You know, maybe only, you know, still only leave 2. And, you know, you give up 2, that's putting your team in a position to win, right? If you're pitching into the 6th inning and, you know, his pitch count was high. It was high today, but it was because, you know, he didn't have his stuff. You know, he had a couple walks. But, like, you know, like I said, it's just you go into the 6th inning, you only give up 2 runs. You're putting your team in a position to win. And at the end of the day, you know, if you don't have your best stuff or not, that's all you can ask for from your team is your starting pitcher. You know, go into the 6th, put you in a position to win, hand it off to the bullpen, hand it off to the offense. And, you know, he continues to do that. Whether he has his best stuff or he doesn't, he's still doing it, and the kid's a stud.
Yeah, context matters to me when I look at these young players. I mean, this is his first full season, and they're stretching Peyton Tolley in a way that's he's never done in his entire career, right? It's a year and some change. And I wanted to see how he recovered from his last outing against Arizona, where he only went, again, 5 innings through 98 pitches, gave up 3 runs, 6 hits. I wanted to see how he recovered. And tonight, it was 2 mistakes, as you mentioned, that inning where he loaded the bases and then that solo shot where he kind of left that ball hanging there. But I'm looking at the total pitches there and seeing if he's able to control the strike zone. There were a few at-bats there where, you know, the batter just kept fouling it off. He couldn't get the batter out. He would eventually get the out. He did have a no-hitter through the first 5 innings, and that's when it kind of broke through. But, you know, Peyton Tolley's going to be the guy, the second pitcher, right, in this rotation that's going to be relied on the most after Sonny Gray. So just having him not implode is what I'm looking at, right? Being competitive. It was still a close game. It was 2-2 at that point. It's not like he imploded and gave up multiple runs there. So that's what I'm looking at, because, of course, you can count on this Boston Red Sox offense to figure out ways to put up runs. At least this new version of the Boston Red Sox, especially in the second half, they figure out ways to put up runs. That this is what this team does, whether it's bunting guys over, whether it's sack flies, stealing bases, they're the home runs, which I think they have the most home runs since the All-Star break. They figure out ways to put up runs. And if your pitcher is only giving up 2 runs, then he's giving you a chance to win games. And that's what I'm looking for in our second best pitcher, right, up until this point, because Jake Bennett is kind of going down in the wrong direction here. But he's our second best pitcher, and this is what I'm looking for from our second best pitcher after Sonny Gray.
Yeah, I thought ultimately his start was pretty good. I think this Miami team, you know, not the most flashy offense, but they've got some hitters in that lineup. You know, Otto Lopez, Xavier Edwards, you know, they've guys who put the bat on the ball and can make life very difficult for an opposing pitcher. And I thought Tolley, you know, maybe didn't have his best stuff today, wasn't the most efficient, but as you guys said, he worked around it. And that's really key. So, yeah, I thought he was good. And, you know, again, I think, you know, you go into a playoff series, assuming Crochet's not ready, it's Gray, Suarez, Tolley. That's your three, you know, and you figure it out from there. So he's definitely established himself as that. I think he's making a lot of people forget about the Connelly Early trade because Connelly Early, you know, can't stay healthy and he just got moved to the 60-day IL. He's probably done. You know, probably a lot of Boston fans, myself included, are, you know, sitting here going, well, I'm glad they chose Tolley over Early in terms of who we're going to keep, because Tolley looks like he's got some serious upside. And it looks like he's just getting better and better by the start. So I think that's very encouraging. I'm glad that George brought up the bullpen here in the comments section, because, you know, he makes a good point. Whitlock and Slayton are gone, right? They're on the IL, two of your best relievers, and the bullpen really hasn't faltered at all. I mean, you bring in this Wyatt Olds, who has been like a fringe roster guy for a couple of years here, I think. And honestly, tonight he would have closed it out if Connor Wong could have just held on to the ball. And, you know, it was a bit of a wild pitch. I can see why they counted it against the pitcher. But, you know, if Connor Wong just gets in front of that and blocks it down, Red Sox win that, you know. So they're finding guys. You know, Teyron Guerrero has still, you know, been doing his thing. Eric Miller, probably with his best outing since being traded to the Red Sox, you know, struck out the side there. So he looked very impressive. I think it's funny because going into the season, I was very worried about this bullpen. I was not a fan of bringing Greg Weissert back. I didn't like that they really didn't do anything in the offseason to add anyone to the bullpen. They just kind of brought back the same cast and crew and said, okay, we're going to run with that. And ultimately, like, it's weird. The bullpen's been one of their strengths really through most of the season. I mean, Greg Weissert had his moments where, you know, he had some hiccups there, but ultimately Chapman has been mostly good, maybe not as dominant as he was last year, but he's been pretty good. And Guerrero's been good. Weissert, you know, has settled down now. Brian Bayo is the best reliever in baseball. So the bullpen's actually been a huge strength for this team going forward. And I think that's really important. If you're going to be a playoff team, having a strong bullpen really matters.
And that's why I'm not too concerned with Tolley, because once you get to that point in the playoffs, you're going to get Garrett Whitlock back. So you have your eighth inning guy. Eric Miller is a revelation. I mean, he hasn't allowed an earned run since, I have here, since June 12th.
Wow.
And since joining the Red Sox, he's been phenomenal. So you can have him, whether it's the seventh inning guy or the eighth inning guy, flop him with Whitlock, however you want to do it. Chapman is still dealing there. Hasn't been, you know, the great Chapman of the past, but he's still a lockdown in the ninth inning. And then Bayo, as you just brought up, is the best reliever in baseball. He's been better than Miller, than Mason Miller, since, you know, he's been put in the bullpen there. So you have four to five guys that can be locked down in the bullpen right now. That's why I'm not too concerned with Bennett and Tolley. I mean, if they can just give you a solid 4 to 5 innings in the playoffs, and then you can rely on these arms here. I mean, the Red Sox can go deep into the playoffs, and you're starting to see this a formula work its way, especially as guys come back. You know, Slayton is going to be a part of that formula, even though I don't trust him as much as I trust the other guys. You have a bunch of arms out there. And then Garrett Crochet, who said he can only pitch 2 innings, is another guy that you can throw out there. I mean, they've got some things coming here, and I'm feeling good about, you know, the Red Sox chances in the playoffs.
Yeah, they're looking stacked right now. Eric Miller looks awesome. I mean, you go Eric Miller, you go Guerrero and Chapman back-to-back, both throwing 102. You know, that's tough. That's tough to catch up to. They've both been producing. I mean, Guerrero's been great. Eric Miller looked awesome tonight. There's no reason not to feel great about the way the bullpen's looked and the way the bullpen is, you know, structured to go forward, and how it's looking for the playoffs is you know, everyone knows the playoffs is, you know, sometimes it's all about the bullpen. You know, a lot of times the best bullpen wins the World Series, a lot of times. We've seen it, you know. We saw it with us, you know, a few times, right? So it's huge, and we're in a spot right now, too, where our starters are great. It's not like our relievers are saving our starters. Our relievers are just keeping our starters' games, you know, where they're at, and getting them the wins and getting themselves the saves. And it's in a very good spot right now. And I think every fan can look at the whole pitching staff front to bottom and feel really good about it.
Yeah, I always think back to the 2015 Kansas City Royals when they won the World Series that year. It was their bullpen. Right, that nasty bullpen. Kelvin Herrera was like a rookie or something, a second-year player. You know, we all know the career he had. Like, that's how they won it. They won it with kind of the same way the Red Sox are doing it right now. They didn't have a ton of power on that team. It was all guys who made contact, got on base. They had some speedsters. They had guys who could draw out long at-bats. And their starting rotation was good. But, you know, all they needed was to have a lead by the fifth inning. And you were screwed. Because then they just throw in reliever after reliever who just threw bullets. And it led them to a World Series win. I'm not sure they were a better team than that Mets team. But you know what? They won it. And their bullpen was a big part of it. So now, is the Red Sox bullpen as elite as that one? Probably not. You know, it might be a notch or two below. But look, if Chapman is kind of saving his best bullets for the postseason, and he's going to, you know, go on one of those runs, that could be really good for you. You guys mentioned Garrett Whitlock. He'll be back by then. He's already facing live hitters, so that's a good sign. He's, you know, also been one of the best relievers in baseball all season. Brian Bayo, you know, a guy like Bayo, especially in the playoffs, you know, if you get into one of those games where, you know, it's really, let's say it's a Peyton Tolley game, right? And he doesn't have his best stuff. The command's all over the place. The pitch count's getting high. And you got to pull him in the third inning. That's where Brian Bayo comes in. You know, perfect spot. Okay, no problem. Totally didn't have it today. Let's save his arm because, you know, we might need to pitch him later in the series. And then boom, here comes Brian Bayo, who is untouchable out of the bullpen right now. So it's a problem. The Red Sox bullpen will be a problem for other teams when they get to the postseason. And yeah, I say when, because I don't think they're dropping out of it at this point. I really don't. So it's a great strength to have, and I'm just surprised because I didn't see it coming. I really thought the bullpen was going to be more of a weakness this year, and it turns out it might be one of their best strengths. So, again, you know, big series coming up this weekend against the Yankees. That's going to be, you know, that's going to be a big litmus test, excuse me, for this team because, again, you're a game and a half back from them now. So, you know, do you want to make this real or not? They got a big chance to do it, and who knows? Maybe Roman Anthony is in the lineup and, you know, starting at DH or something. And, you know, maybe he's got a homer or two in his back pocket to greet the Yankees with. So we'll see what happens there.
There's no reason why the Red Sox shouldn't win that series or at least have a really good chance of winning that series. They're the hottest team in Major League Baseball. I mean, that includes the Dodgers, the mighty Dodgers. They're the hottest team in Major League Baseball. They have arguably the best bullpen in Major League Baseball. The offense has been the best in Major League Baseball in the second half so far. I mean, there's no reason why they shouldn't win that series against the Yankees. The Yankees are vulnerable right now. They're still waiting on Judge. Stanton, as you mentioned earlier, is not coming back. Max Fried is not at least there in that starting rotation. So they're not at their best right now. This is the chance to finally surpass the Yankees in the standings. Continue to play well. Go out there and get the sweep tomorrow. You've got the best pitcher in the American League. I don't care if the odds are that Dylan Cease or Cam Schlitter are going to win the Cy Young. Sonny Gray should be in that conversation and should be first in that conversation. And you've got him going tomorrow. Go for the sweep and win that series against the Yankees and take them over and see where you are in the AL East standing once that weekend is done. But everything is pointing up right now for the Red Sox.
Yeah, I agree. I think finishing the sweep is big. You're muted.
Yep, sorry. Hit mute instead. Yeah, they absolutely should finish the sweep tomorrow, and they've got a great opportunity because, as you guys mentioned, you've got Sonny Gray on the mound. He's going up against Ryan Gusto, who looks like he's one of these relievers they're trying to stretch into a starter. Hasn't gone really past four innings in any of his starts. So, again, it's kind of a spot guy, you know, not great numbers, has a high whip. So this is another guy that the Red Sox, you should be able to get to him. You know, get to him early, make it comfortable for Sonny Gray. That's a big ballpark there in Miami. So that's, you know, kind of right up Gray's alley. So I feel pretty good about it. I think they will get the sweep tomorrow and they'll be going into New York with some momentum. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I do too. I agree. I think Sonny comes in, like you said, big ballpark. He's going to get some flyouts. He's going to do his thing. And hopefully the Yankees, I mean, ideal the Yankees lose again, right? You go in with a very slim lead, and I think they're primed to take three out of four. I think, you know, I would probably be picking a sweep if one of them wasn't a doubleheader. So I would say maybe they split the doubleheader and win the rest of the games. That's how I'm feeling right now.
I mean, I remember when they faced off against the Rays in the early part of the second half and they had a doubleheader. We're like, yeah, they're going to split one of those games, and they ended up sweeping the Rays. So, I mean, you just never know. But I think Sonny Gray gets his 17th win tomorrow. It's the best in Major League Baseball. He's going to go out there and deal. And this offense is going to figure out ways to put up runs, which is what they do every single day. We don't know how they're going to do it, but they're going to do it, and they're going to win and sweep this series. And hopefully we go into that Yankee series down just a half a game. It's going to be good, boys.
Yes, I agree. I think we're going to see a sweep tomorrow. So hopefully that's the case. We will be on the air again tomorrow night after the conclusion of that game. So stay tuned to your YouTube feeds.